Reading this morning is taken from Luke 4, verses 31 to 44. Then he went down to Capernaum, a town in Galilee, and on the Sabbath began to teach the people. They were amazed at his teaching, because his message had authority. In the synagogue, there was a man possessed by a demon, an evil spirit. He cried out at the top of his voice, "Ha! What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." "Be quiet," Jesus said sternly. "Come out of him." Then the demon threw the man down before them all and came out without injuring him. All the people were amazed and said to each other, "What is this teaching? With authority and power he gives orders to evil spirits and they come out." And the news about him spread throughout the surrounding area. Jesus left the synagogue and went to the home of Simon. Now Simon's mother-in-law was suffering from high fever, and they asked Jesus to help her. So he bent over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. She got up at once and began to wait on them. When the sun was setting, the people brought to Jesus all who had various kinds of sickness, and laying his hands on each one, he healed them. Moreover, demons came out of many people shouting, "You are the Son of God." But he rebuked them and would not allow them to speak, because they knew he was the Christ. At daybreak, Jesus went out to a solitary place. The people who were looking for him, and when they came to where he was, they tried to keep him from leaving them. But he said, "I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to other towns also, because that is why I was sent." And he kept on preaching in the synagogues of Judea. This is the word of the Lord.
Father God, we thank you for these words. May you lead us now in what we think, in what we remember, that you would be closer to us and lead us on in your way. Amen. Well, good morning. Anchor mentioned the other week about my passion for faith socks. And I don't have any socks with demons on, and I don't have any socks with anyone rising from the dead, but I have my Holy Spirit socks on today, so that's good. And it was great to have a message from Liz this week. She's away, and she sent me a photograph of the CRE stand, wherever she is, with the Holy Socks display. And I thought, that's where I want to be. The common thread through all of the events we've just heard is the power and authority of Jesus. He taught with power and authority. He rebuked demons with power and authority. He even rebuked a fever with power and authority. Jesus speaks to nature, and nature listens and obeys. Jesus speaks to spiritual powers. They listen and obey. Jesus has power and authority over all things. In verses 31 and 32, Jesus was teaching them on the Sabbath, and they were amazed at his teaching, for his message was with authority. The synagogue crowd was probably used to rabbis who would cite other rabbis and speculate on what they thought the scripture meant. But Jesus spoke plainly and clearly, saying, "This is what God means by this scripture, and this is how you should obey it." He spoke as one from God, and of course he was. He wasn't offering helpful hints for happy living. He proclaimed the sovereign authority of God and called people to obey his word. Note also the emphasis on Jesus' preaching. When the people came out to persuade him to return to Capernaum, Jesus refused, explaining that he had to preach the kingdom of God in other cities as well, for he was sent for this purpose. And that is precisely what he did. He kept on preaching in the synagogues of Judea. So what does that mean to us? Firstly, since Jesus was emphasized the preaching of the word, so must we. That is why we have a preaching slot in every service. We don't gather just to pray and to sing, but to listen to and learn from the word of God. Secondly, since Jesus emphasized the authority of God's word and the need for obedience, so must we. Jesus, of course, spoke with an authority which no other preacher can imitate, especially me, because Jesus is the Son of God. But at the same time, Jesus upheld the authority of Scripture and the need for us to submit to it. Thirdly, Jesus unswervingly devoted himself to his mission to preach the kingdom of God. There were many good things that could have distracted Jesus from his purpose, such as going back to Capernaum and having a more extensive healing ministry. But he refused the pleas of the people and did not get sidetracked from the purpose for which God sent him. Luke shows us, first with the man in the synagogue, and then with the many who came to Peter's door, that Jesus had authority over evil spirits. Luke reports that this man in the synagogue had a spirit of an unclean demon. This probably refers to moral impurity. The demon impelled the man to immoral behavior. Who knows how long this man had sat in that synagogue, week after week, listening to the droning of the rabbis, not disturbed by what he heard. Perhaps he had been able to hide his problem from public view up to this time. But when Jesus preached, the demon in him recognized Jesus' power and authority, and he cried out through the man's voice, "Go away! What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." Jesus silenced the demon, and without any hocus-pocus or incantations, he simply commanded it to come out of the man, and it obeyed. The reason Jesus silenced this demon and others who were proclaiming him to be the Son of God is that he did not want the testimony of these evil witnesses, even though what they said was true. The demons believe in God, but they shudder, as in James chapter 2, because they are under his judgment. Demonic forces are very much at work in our world today, although sometimes they are given more credit than they deserve. The world and the flesh are usually quite capable of dragging us into sin without demonic influence. If we are believers, we have the Holy Spirit within us and thus cannot be possessed by demons, but we can come under demonic attack and opposition. And this can happen through our own weaknesses. For instance, if you or a family member have any involvement with the occult, such as astrology, Ouija boards, fortune-telling, seances, either deliberately or innocently, you must repent of these evil practices. Your eternal life may depend upon it. Jesus healed Peter's mother-in-law, and then healed many from the town who lined up at Peter's door that evening. While in Mark's gospel, it says that Jesus took Peter's mother-in-law by the hand, Luke here reports that he rebuked the fever. I think the reason Luke mentions this is to emphasize Jesus' authority. Just as later, Jesus would rebuke the raging wind and the sea, showing his authority over the forces of nature. So here, he rebukes the fever to show that he is the Lord over disease too. Because Jesus had authority and power, we too should submit to Jesus and serve him to further his purposes. These incidences show the human race broken and wounded under the effects of the fall. We can look at the demon-possessed man in the synagogue, at Peter's sick mother-in-law, at the long line of sick people lined up at Peter's door that evening. But we can also watch TV today, or read the papers, or look online and see the terrible condition of the human race. I don't know how many families there were in Capernaum, but when they heard that Jesus was at Peter's house and that he could heal, they lined up en masse. I wonder if that same reaction would be seen across the world, or indeed here in Hedge End, if that sort of authority was proclaimed and Jesus' power shown. Quite a thought, isn't it? Jesus could have quietened the crowd and then prayed, "In the name of the Father, you are healed." Instantly, everyone would have been healed. They would have gone home, and Jesus would have had an easier early night. But instead, he laid his hands on each one of them, showing his compassion and his care for the individual. The Bible is clear that we must come to Jesus on an individual basis, and that when we do, he will deal with us personally and compassionately. We are all invited to cast our cares on him, because he loves each one of us unconditionally. The people of Capernaum used Jesus to get healed, but they did not submit to him and serve him. In fact, they wanted to hinder him from his purpose by keeping him to themselves. Later, Jesus condemned the people of Capernaum because, in spite of the many miracles they had seen, they did not repent. But Peter's mother-in-law pictures the proper response for those who have experienced the Saviour's healing touch. She arose and began to serve him. The danger is that we too will use Jesus for whatever we need, and then after he does what we want, we will set him aside and go on with our personal agendas. If we really examine our true condition before God, we're like those people in Capernaum, wounded, sick, and needy. We need to do as they did and come to Jesus. When we do that, he deals with us personally, cleansing us and healing us. We then have a choice. Like the people of Capernaum, we can walk away and never truly believe and follow Jesus. Or we can be like Peter's mother-in-law. We can rise up and immediately begin to serve him out of gratitude. That is the only reasonable and proper response if we felt the touch of the Sovereign Lord's healing touch on our hearts and known his power and his authority. In the next few weeks, we have Halloween and we have the COP26 climate conference. How are you going to think, act, and pray, knowing his power, his authority? As I've said quite a few times, being a Christian is not a spectator sport. We have to be involved. Believing in Jesus, obeying his word, and serving him. Amen.